This is a Defocus Media production.
Hey everybody, I'm your four-eyed professor, Chris Levens, and I'm super excited to talk to you today. Our roll call is for new and experienced ODs, optometry students, and even those just interested in this profession. We'll cover a number of topics together, and I'll help you see them through a professor's eyes. Please take your seats. School's in session.
And now a word from our sponsors. Did you know that 77% of eyeglass wearers wipe their lenses with t-shirts, tissues, or towels? Or that 1 in 3 people actually admit to accidentally dropping their glasses at least once a week? No one in the eye care industry needs to be told that this will lead to scratches on lenses and unhappy patients. So it's hardly surprising that 93% of wearers consider scratch resistance an important characteristic when choosing lenses. The latest Crizal lens innovation is here to help, and it's more durable than ever before. New Crizal Rock lenses are 3 times more scratch resistant than entry-level Crizal products and 2 times easier to clean than main competitors after extensive smudging. For more information about how you can bring this incredible new technology to your practice, go to EssilorPro.com/Crizal-Rock or contact your Essilor account executive for more details.
Welcome back to our next episode and the topic around malpractice and specifically optometric malpractice. And today we are going to talk about, honestly, one of the hardest things that we have to do. And some might say it's actually harder than seeing patients, and that is medical records and recording. Incredibly important, but incredibly difficult. And it doesn't matter if you look back in the past to handwritten charts or even with the most advanced electronic health record of today, it's still incredibly difficult to record everything that we do in the course of an examination and everything that we're thinking about and everything that the patient said. But yet, in terms of the topic of malpractice, very, very important. So why do we keep medical records in the first place? Well, honestly, the main purpose is to facilitate patient care so that it's not on us to remember every single patient and everything that we were thinking the last time we saw the patient. It helps us gauge progression, reminds us where things once were as we then continue with the care of the patient moving forward. But in the context of legal issues and malpractice, medical records, as it turns out, are the cornerstone of our defense. So, well, what should be in them? What should be the form, content, layout, design? Well, if we look again in the rear view mirror and when we had full control over medical records, honestly, there was a time when we just had blank pieces of paper to record examinations. And in that respect, we tended to use a SOAP format or a SOAPY format, where we had a subjective and objective assessment and plan, and then sometimes with patient education. But today, honestly, it's the advent of electronic health records doesn't give us the same amount of freedom that we once had, which can be good and bad. The lack of freedom gives us oftentimes a visually confusing computer interface with all kinds of tabs and buttons and text boxes to fill in content, some of which are applicable to the patient that we're seeing, and honestly, sometimes not at all applicable to the patient that we're seeing. So our best approach is to follow the guidelines of what our colleagues are doing. And try to discern what optometric professional standards are, what a commonplace approach is, and with electronic health records, they tend to do a lot of that for us. Typically, a problem-oriented approach is common. where we can formulate an adequate database, obviously collect the patient demographics and their history, and then when we're completing the examination, complete a problem list with an initial plan on what to do that visit and then what to consider moving forward, and whenever appropriate, use progress notes in between more comprehensive encounters. In a legal setting, one of the things that I caution everybody against is being cautious not to use any phraseology that would denigrate the patient. And so what I mean by that is, well, years ago, when we weren't thinking about this, we would use funny acronyms. Does anybody know what the acronym FLK means? Yep, that means funny looking kid. That means there's something going on by the looks of things, but I don't know what it is. Well, do not ever use acronyms like that. So you have to think about it like this. If my medical record was being read aloud in testimony, or I was asked to read my own chart aloud in deposition, or worse yet, in a courtroom setting, how awful and non-empathetic, without any consideration for what I'm doing as a medical provider, would I look immediately upon having to explain to any form of audience what this acronym, completely insulting, that I documented in this patient's chart. Also, don't go off the rails. There was a legal case several years ago in which an optometrist tried to, in an attempt to prevent malpractice issues, come up with his own language with regards to charting. So just as an example, if there was an issue in the cornea, well, he had a code word for cornea, and rather than saying superior cornea, he would say NAK, K for cornea, NA for North America, and that way he figured, well, no one was going to be able to decipher his code for an eye examination. Well, as it turned out, no shock, he was sued, because I guess if you're that kind of going off the rails, you're probably going off the rails elsewhere as well. And as he tried to explain aloud his strategy for charting, all it did was imply that his patient care was probably that crazy as well. And so don't go off the rails, but be considerate as you're documenting, as if somebody or you may have to read it out loud later. So some basic principles of charting. And again, I will fully admit, this is incredibly difficult to do. Do your best to record everything that you do. And obviously, do everything that you've recorded. If and when you have an out of the ordinary case, spend more time on that one. So the patient who has one diopter of uncorrected myopia, and that's it, and a full correction brings the patient's vision beautifully to 20/15 with no other issues, all right, well, you can be pretty quick on that one. But the patient who has a complex anterior segment or posterior segment finding that you really don't know what's going on, okay, spend a little bit more time on that chart just to be safe. Think defensively, which is what I alluded to a moment ago. How would this look if somebody else was reviewing my records? How would it sound if read aloud? And that's really a defensive posture here. And consider when you record findings, what things look like. Describe them. This helps somebody else examine your chart and your thinking at the time to at least prove that you really considered this finding thoroughly. You considered alternatives, which then may make sense with regards to the plan of action that you had at that examination. So what should you record? Ideally, what the patient says, what you said, what you did, what you found in the examination, and what you didn't find in the examination that may be key to that issue. Your conclusions, your advice to the patient, and honestly, that's probably the one I forget the most. I talk a lot to my patients in the course of an examination, and the hardest thing for me to remember to jot down in the chart is what I said, because it seems like it's very conversational as the examination is being done, but to remember to put that in the chart, because I probably am delivering a whole lot of information to the patient, is oftentimes hard to do. Remember that patients have selective memories, and symptoms can become clearer with every additional piece of information that is given to them. So let me give you another example of a legal case in eye care. A patient had presented with a really benign complaint of blurry vision, but if you listen really carefully, may have had some issues with vision loss, but it was really nonspecific. The doctor did a pretty cursory examination, and on that visit, did not dilate the patient's eyes. And we'll talk about that in one of the later episodes. And as it turned out, unfortunately, the patient had a retinal detachment and went on to have an unsuccessful outcome after surgery and had lost the vision for the most part in one eye. Well, when you looked at the charting and you interviewed the practitioner, the optometrist, it was pretty clear that the case history that the patient had presented with was pretty nonspecific. That when queried about flashes and floaters, no, the patient said no, they weren't experiencing that at all. And no curtain of lack of loss of vision across one eye. It was pretty nonspecific. But yet, when the lawsuit actually came to fruition, the patient claims, oh yes, I absolutely told my doctor that I had flashes and floaters and loss of vision coming across one side. And so when you read a deposition like that, where it's absolutely a he said, she said, a conflict between the doctor and the patient, you'll wonder, well, what in the world is going on here? Is the patient just out to get the doctor or win a lawsuit due to an unforeseen circumstance? Or is the doctor just lying and wish they would have done things differently? Why is there such a stark difference, as in this case, with a simple complaint of, did you see flashes and floaters or a black curtain coming across your vision? Well, I want you to take a step back for a moment and think about it a little bit differently. So take yourself as the patient. And when I say think about it differently, let's just say neither is an evil individual, and they're both attempting to tell the truth. And I want to create the circumstance in which that may be true. So the doctor has this and has his or her notes, and presumably they're accurate and honest. And if the doctor recorded that the patient wasn't complaining of such, the patient wasn't complaining of such. But now put yourself in the patient's shoes and say you don't know anything about eyes. And you know you were having some complaint because you went to the doctor, but can you really remember years ago what exactly you said word for word and what you were feeling and seeing at the time? Probably not. So let's say you went into a provider and, like the patient that I just described, that I am describing, had an unfortunate outcome. Well, in all likelihood, if you had a health issue, you probably would have already gone to Dr. Google and PubMed and searched every piece of information about the condition and the symptoms that you're having. And if you found out you were having a retinal detachment, believe you me, you would probably very quickly become a mini medical expert on the topic of retinal detachments. And as soon as you see things like experience symptoms like flashes, floaters, black curtain coming across your vision, after a while, mentally, you can actually begin to recreate a new history in your mind's eye and basically convince yourself, well, did I complain about those things? Well, of course I must have complained about those things. And the more you think about it, the more you actually create an alternate reality movie in your mind in which you're not being evil or intentionally lying. You come to truly believe that you said these things when in fact, perhaps you didn't. And that's what makes this whole concept of medical malpractice so confusing and confounding, because these things are not decided tomorrow or next week or next month. They go on for years. And most of us do not have memories, and the patients as well, that lasts 4 years. So recording will only make it appear as if your examination and your questioning and your interaction between you and the patient, when it appears to be very detailed, it implies that your care is also very detailed. What other things can you consider recording in a medical record that oftentimes go underperformed? Anything that you do over the phone with the patient should be charted. Any advice that you may give the patient in the waiting room. Maybe you've seen them and you catch them in the optical and you say, oh yeah, yeah, Miss Jones, don't forget to XYZ. Record that stuff. Next big topic is something that is critical, and that is the topic of altering records. And to get to the end of the story first, don't do it. Don't do it way after the fact. And so I want to describe this topic also in the context of a case. And this case, I do know the name of. This case is Temption versus Samson. In this case, it revolves around a Dr. Samson and a Miss Enid Temption, who not only did this case go to deposition, but actually goes to trial as well. And Miss Enid is on the stand, and she's being interviewed about why she sought the care of Dr. Temption. And she says, well, yes, I was experiencing some issues with my eyes, and so I didn't feel comfortable driving that day, so I decided to bring my aunt with me. And by the way, these are two elderly ladies, and Miss Temption's in the exam chair, and her aunt is in the exam room as well. And she says, yeah, I was seen by Dr. Temption. And in the course of the examination, towards the end, he told me that I had some cataracts that were pretty early, and in his words, they just weren't ripe yet. And he was going to continue to examine me every year or two or so. But if there was a time in which my vision would get worse, I should come back. But in all honesty, everything seemed to be okay. This was just a natural aging change. And you look over to Miss Enid's aunt, and she's nodding her head. Yep, that's exactly what was said. But if you look a little bit the other direction, you see Dr. Temption just screaming around in his chair, itching to say something. And when he gets up to the stand, he says, well, no, no, no. I didn't say anything about cataracts. I said that this patient had uveitis. All right, time out. So let's talk about Miss Temption after she saw Dr. Samson. Well, within a few days, what she thought was cataracts probably wasn't cataracts, because things started getting worse. And she says she didn't trust the findings of Dr. Samson and went on to go see an ophthalmologist. That ophthalmologist got to the stand and said, no, 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 there was no cataracts here. The patient had uveitis, and the lack of intervention and the delay in treatment actually caused Miss Temption to have some permanent ocular damage, which she still suffers from today. She should have never gone to blah, blah, blah. She should have gone to me, blah, blah, blah. And that is the excitement of this case. So back to Dr. Temption in the stand. He says, no, 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 as you can see in my chart, I said the patient, Miss Enid Temption, had uveitis, and that she needed treatment, and I actually made a referral for her that day. Well, as in a lot of law cases, things could not look and sound any different than they do in this case. It is absolutely a she said, he said. So, who does the jury side with? Well, there's a little piece of information that I left out. This was prior to the advent of electronic health records, and this was a pen on paper chart. And it is true, there was a note about cataracts, but there was also a note in Dr. Samson's chart about uveitis and the need for an urgent referral. But it was in a different color ink. What do you think about that? Well, The jury didn't think too fondly of it. And it looked and smelled like it was a edited chart, very conveniently so, after the fact, and said Dr. Temption was culpable of malpractice and awarded Ms. Enid Temption a sum of money. So even if you have never seen a patient recorded on a pen on paper chart, think about the things you have written down, or think about your charting today. You see a patient and you start to finish your chart, but then you get another patient, and then you start to finish that chart and you get another patient. And so at the end of the day, you go in and you finish your charts. Well, in the world of electronic health records, every time you enter a chart, it's timestamped by who's logged in, what was changed, what was deleted, what was added, and timestamped. So it's probably not that unusual to go in at the end of the day or maybe even the subsequent day to make some edits or additions to your chart. And honestly, in the realm of paper charts, have I ever used two different pens? My goodness, yes. Do they ever happen to be two different colors? Certainly, yes. Does it look bad? Well, certainly, yes. And so let me just frame it like this. If you have to edit a chart, you want to add to a chart, you want to finish a chart, go for it. If you get 6, 12, 18 months after you've seen a patient, a letter in your mail subpoenaing copies of records, and you go look at a chart that was just subpoenaed, and you go, oh my goodness, on Mr. Smith's exam, I forgot to record pupils. I totally remember seeing him and his pupils were normal. And as it turns out, that's the whole issue at stake in the case. Don't put it in there. Just explain in deposition. I just forgot. I just omitted it, but I remember it. And here's why. Do your best to say it verbally. Don't put it in the chart. Even if you're honest, it will look bad. So no matter how you feel about it, never falsify a record. And that's pretty strong words, but never edit a chart after it's been subpoenaed. Even if you're being honest, it will look bad. Last piece of information about medical records is do your best to keep everything. And if you can't keep a hard copy, try to photocopy or scan it in, which would include things like notes from patients, prescriptions that aren't automatically captured in your EHR. Forms filled out by the patient in the waiting room or the technician that also aren't automatically put into the health record in some way. And everything that you do put in there, obviously look at it because you're responsible. So to sum it up, this is hard stuff. It really is. And I do agree on some days that it's harder to do this than actually see the patient. But these are the cornerstone of your defense. To sum it up in one sentence, well-kept, organized, legible, current, contemporary records imply reasonably good care. Inaccurate, incomplete, sloppy, messy, haphazard records imply poor and haphazard and sloppy patient care. So don't let it happen to you. Thanks, everybody, for attending to this next episode in the series, and we will talk again soon.
Class is ended for today, and we have no exams or grades approaching. Please email me at foureyedprofessor@gmail.com if there are topics that you would like to hear and see through a professor's eyes.